Welcome to the Open Book Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger, and this is episode 6. My guest today is a best-selling author and award-winning journalist. He has published 35 books and more than 500 journal and magazine articles and more than 40 religious and secular periodicals for both scholarly and popular audiences. His work has been circulated worldwide and translated into 12 languages. He was appointed by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops as a lay representative on their National Advisory Council. He also serves the Church as a historian, apologist, evangelist, and catechist in a number of settings, speaking frequently at conferences, seminars, parish missions, and scholarly gatherings in the United States and abroad. Welcome, Dr. Paul Thigpen.
It's great to be here, Pete. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Today, I'd like to focus on this fantastic series of books St. Benedict Press has released, and most recently, your own title in the series, and that is A Year with Mary, Daily Meditations on the Mother of God. So, talk to me a little bit about how, we'll focus on your book specifically to begin with, but how did you develop this book? What kind of time frame goes into creating a book that's a daily meditation book with 365 meditations in it?
Well, it takes some time, as you can imagine. It was since I work with St. Benedict Press, it was my full-time job for several months. We in the series, what we like to have is 365 readings. Usually, they're about several hundred words, I guess. Each one is for one day of the year. Now, we don't match it to the calendar or even to the church calendar, so you can kind of pick it up any day and start. But there's one to read for each year, and each one has we've given it a title. We introduce it with a line or two. We have the excerpt, and then have some questions to ask yourself about what you've just read for application to your life, and then finally end with a short prayer. And so I done one earlier, Year with the Saints, and as you mentioned, there are several others. Mike Aquilina and Pat Madrid have done some others. This particular one, we wanted readers to be able to have a whole year with Our Lady. We thought that would be a wonderful thing, that we all know her to some extent, but wouldn't it be wonderful to get better acquainted with her? And if you spent just a little time reading about her and praying to our Lord and to Our Lady every day, think at the end of the year how much better you would know her. So that's the goal of this book, that folks can get to know Our Lady so much better. I know I certainly did in the process of putting it together, because I had to go through so many sources. And in this case, most of them are saints, but some of them are popes who aren't saints, and even a few other writings. There's one of my own in there. In every case, just gives us a little different angle of vision about her life and role, about who she is to the church and who she is in our lives.
As I thumb through the book, you've pulled from quite a number of resources to compile the book, including St. Alphonsus Liguori, St. John Damascus, Pope John Paul II, Blessed John Henry Neumann. How do you narrow down, in a book of this nature, who you finally go with for these writings? Because it has to be a pretty large pool you're researching from.
Well, I started with some of the folks like St. Alphonsus who are known for their Marian teaching. I have a number of readings from them, because there's certain things they had to say that were beautiful insights. They spent so many hours thinking about Our Lady for a lifetime. But then I just kind of went through, historical theology is what my degree's in. So I have thousands of books literally on my shelves here, most of them from writers of the church, spiritual writers for the last 2,000 years. And going through and just finding what do people have to say about Mary. And so you get things from St. Augustine and St. John Chrysostom and even things from the scripture, of course, from the early saints, St. Irenaeus. And then you write forward beautiful things from the Middle Ages, whether it's from St. Francis or St. Bernard, St. Teresa of Avila, as you come forward into the Catholic Reformation and on into modern times. So there really was an abundance of riches. The problem wasn't so much finding enough to put in the book. The problem was deciding how to narrow it down to have only 365 readings, because so much has been said about Our Lady. But as St. Bernard once said, of Mary, there's never enough. You can never really say enough.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the one thing I really think is great about this entire series is the quality of the books. And I assume that was done intentionally. It has a leatherette-type cover, gilded gold pages, a ribbon for marking your place. You guys really put some thought into this when you published these books, because obviously your intent is for people to be using these every day.
That's right. It's kind of three things, I guess. Important that the book be beautiful. It's important that the book be durable, because we want it to be used as a prayer book again and again, and so that we have to put that on the binding, make it a very durable binding, portable as possible. We'll be talking some about the Manual for Spiritual Warfare. That's even smaller and more portable, but even these books you can put into a good-sized handbag, or they're not so heavy that you can't carry them around with you if you need them. Enough things are important for us to be beautiful, durable, and portable. And that just makes the book can be used very handily and often and for a long time.
Yeah. Now, the other books in the series that we mentioned about, the one thing I've been able to do with your St. Benedict Press's approval is we spent the last year going through A Year with the Church Fathers, which is Mike Aquilina's contribution to this series. We've put the daily reading right up there on my blog at the www.catholicbookblogger.com. And also worked out where we will be doing the same thing with A Year with Mary once we finish up with the A Year with the Church Fathers. But looking at some of these other ones, you have A Year with the Church Fathers, you have A Year with the Saints, you have A Year with the Bible that Patrick Madrid did. Are there plans to continue this series?
Well, I sure hope so. I don't know that we have another one in mind exactly yet, but there's still, I think, so many directions we could go. We did another one, by the way, Year with the Angels, which is all writings about the angels that Mike Aquilina did as well. I'm certainly giving some thought to it and hoping that we'll, who knows, maybe some readers will have some suggestions. What would they like to see? The Year with the Saints, the Year with the Fathers, of course, focused on the fathers of those first early centuries of the Church. Year with the Saints was all 2,000 years. Maybe we could look at the spiritual writers just of the Middle Ages, or just of modern times, or that kind of thing. Who knows? There's just, again, an abundance of riches out there. It's hard to know sometimes what to focus on.
Yes, and that's a good thought. So, listeners, as you're listening to this podcast, there will be a comment box at the bottom of this post. Maybe if you'd like to give some suggestions to Paul and St. Benedict Press of what direction they should go with the next one, feel free to put it in the comment box, and I'll be sure to forward that on. So you also mentioned your Manual for Spiritual Warfare, and this one came out a couple months ago. And as you mentioned, it's smaller, a little bit more portable, but this is awesome. I know, in fact, that you guys have gone through the first printing and you're in the second now.
Actually, we're in the third and getting ready for the fourth.
Excellent.
It's amazing. Yeah.
But this has been well received. I reviewed it. We did a giveaway on the blog, and I've seen countless people with very positive remarks for this book. Your thoughts on how well it's being received?
Well, I think the timing was right. There's such a hungry audience out there first of all, trying to understand what do we mean by spiritual warfare, what is going on in the Church, in the world, in my life. And then second, what do I do as a Catholic Christian? What can I do? What has the Lord given me weapons and armor and comrades in this battle? Am I all alone? Am I defenseless? And of course, we're not, and that's what the book's all about. But I think the reason why it's just selling so well is that the need's out there. People want to know more about it. And there are a lot of people who are buying copies of it and giving it to friends, so that even people who haven't been thinking much about spiritual warfare, for a lot of Christians, it's not even on the radar. They get the book and they begin to read and they say, oh my goodness, this is waking me up. This is opening my eyes to some things I hadn't thought about.
Because we're definitely, if last week was any evidence of it, we're definitely in a period of spiritual warfare, I'd have to say.
Oh my goodness, yeah. What happened both here and abroad, in America and abroad, it's a time when we need to be on our knees praying, repenting and praying.
Most definitely. So the work that went into the Manual of Spiritual Warfare, how long did it take you to compile this one? Because this one's a little different. You weren't researching necessarily writings of saints or writings of people talking about Mary, you were compiling this book from the ground up, so to speak, with your own words.
Yeah, the first, not quite half the book is original material. I had to fight the temptation. Again, we wanted it to be compact, the book to be compact. I had to fight the temptation to kind of talk about my own experiences. I didn't want it to be a book about Paul's experiences in spiritual warfare. So, what I wanted to do was to present in a very clear and concise and compelling way, as much as I could, what the church's teaching and tradition is about the enemy of our souls, about his strategies, about who he is, about what his strategies are. And again, as I said a while ago, about how God has equipped us to fight and to win this battle for our souls. So the first part of it is, it's condensed. You know, it's not original in the sense that I'm making up all this new stuff about the devil. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to lay a foundation for what the battle is and how we fight it. Then the second half, and it's a bigger half, so the second portion, I should say, is a collection from all kinds of sources of the last 2,000 years that we can then use in battle. They're kind of like, I call it aids in battle. So I have first a number of scriptures that have to do with spiritual warfare, sections that talk about the devil and demons and what they are, that kind of thing, where they show up in the scripture. I have then church documents, a section of church documents that tell us about spiritual warfare. I go on then to talk about the saints. And actually, I'm working on a book that's going to expand that section. We have a section here on the saints, both anecdotes from their lives and things they had to say that can help us in spiritual warfare. And I'm expanding that into a full book that should be coming out, I hope, by the end of the year.
Great.
And then the next section is a number of devotions and prayers that we can use in spiritual warfare, most of them from the tradition of the church. A few of them are newer, original. And then hymns at the end. So we have some incredible hymns about spiritual warfare that a lot of folks aren't even aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found a lot of things in here that I had never been exposed to before. Again, it's a great book. And if anybody out there doesn't have it, really, you should really look into this book because it's a very valuable tool. A very valuable tool, especially for a prayer life. Now, another question for you that's I'm a convert myself. I know you are as well. I converted in 1996. Could you tell us a little bit about your own conversion story?
Well, sure. I'll keep it short. I'll tell you the full story. If you want the full story, you can either get the book that Pat Madrid edited some years ago called Surprised by Truth, Story of 11 Converts, and my story is the first one in that book. Or you can go to the EWTN website. The full story is there. Just put the bin in the scan, in the search engine for their library, and it'll come up. But actually, I kind of have a double conversion story, because even though I was raised in a Christian family, at the age of 12, I became an atheist. And for 6 years of my teenage years in there, I remained an atheist. And so I came back to the Lord, came back to faith when I was 18. And it's interesting you should raise that in connection with the spiritual warfare manual, because in part, one of the reasons for my conversion was that I had gotten involved in the occult, even though I didn't believe it was anything spiritual. I thought it was just powers of the human mind we'd never discovered, and wanted to approach it from what I thought was a scientific point of view, and ended up meeting up with all kinds of evil powers. I thought, this is, you know, oh my gosh, this, you know, I thought the whole world at that point, I thought, well, the whole world was just matter and energy, this, you know, this world, that there wasn't another world beyond, and I had to rethink everything. And so in a sense, I kind of believed in the devil before I believed in God, and you know, during this period.
Uh-huh.
And it sent me right back into the arms of the Lord. I remember thinking, wow, if these things are real, where can I find out more about them? And I thought back to my childhood. I remembered the gospel stories of Jesus exorcising demons. And I thought, that's where I need to go see more about this. And that was the beginning, really, in many ways, of my conversion back to Christian faith. It involved some other things, some real amazing answers to experimental prayer, you might call it. But came back to the faith, was within a charismatic Pentecostal setting for a number of years, even was ordained as a pastor in a church. And but had started a doctoral program. I was working on a master's and PhD in historical theology. And as Blessed John Henry Newman has often said, to be deep in history is to cease to be Protestant. Mm-hmm. And that's really what happened to me. There were other things, too, that the witness of Catholics I knew, and but as I began to read, especially the church fathers, I began to realize that, first of all, that a lot of things I thought about the Catholic faith were not true. But second, that the faith that the apostles had passed on to the next generation apparently was Catholic. Mm-hmm. You had people talking, you know, St. Ignatius talking about the Catholic Church, and you had folks talking about the Eucharist really was the body and blood, the same body and blood that was crucified on the cross. There were bishops. There were all these things that I thought had thought were kind of later developments in the Catholic tradition that I came to see were insisted on by the people who had received their faith from the apostles. So it took some time because my family wasn't quite where I was there, my wife and my children. But the Lord was faithful, and we all came in together in 1993, so just 3 years before you did.
Okay. The interesting thing you mentioned there is the Church Fathers, you know, the saying, to read the Church Fathers is to cease to be Protestant. Because you understand, hey, these guys, very as the students of the apostles, believed this.
And for the next, you know, few generations too. I mean, first of all, so St. Ignatius and St. Irenaeus, there were so many that I saw just how Catholic they were. But even if you go, you know, a couple hundred years later, you go into the 4th century, you go to St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. I had a whole course in St. Augustine, and I was having to read his essay against the Donatists. And the Donatists were a schismatic group in northern Africa that there had been a persecution of the church. During that time, some of the priests and many of the laity had apostatized, had left the church under threat of, you know, of being put to death. They unfortunately, you know, did not find the grace somehow to resist. We always hear about the martyrs, but mm-hmm. we don't always hear about the ones who didn't, who left the church instead. When the persecution was over and they were still alive, they came back to the church to be received in. Including some priests, and our, you know, the church said, well, yes, I mean, you do proper penance and all, but we welcome you back in. But there were some folks in northern Africa and some other places who said, wait a minute, we can't do that. We can't forgive apostasy. We can't let them back in. And if you do let them back in, then you're not pure enough. The church is not pure enough. These priests aren't pure enough. And they essentially broke away then from the Catholic Church because they thought it wasn't pure enough. And that they had the pure faith. And so I'm reading this essay against the Donatists, and each time St. Augustine makes a good point, I'm saying, yes, yeah, you tell him, Augustine, that's right, that's right. That's really true. Oh, yeah, yeah. Then all of a sudden it hit me. I put the book down on my desk, and I said, oh, my goodness, I am a Donatist. that was part of my reason for not being Catholic, because my tradition was saying, well, the Catholic Church had lost its purity, and therefore we separate from it.
Yeah. Amazing.
So things like that, just after a while, I couldn't get away from what the Lord was saying to me through the writings of the saints. I even remember reading some of the saints' writings, and I remember St. Catherine of Siena, especially her dialogues, and I just began a conversation with her about what she was saying, what the Lord was saying to her. And I remember stopping and saying, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be talking to the saints. And yet there I was, and I felt like I could feel her presence with me, and St. Augustine and the others. Uh-huh. So... A lot of things happened, but especially learning the history of the church, I learned how much I'd been taught that was wrong, not just, you know, about how to interpret the scripture, but also about the history of the church. I'd been given, you know, really wrong ideas of everything from a non-Catholic point of view. So I had a lot to learn.
Yeah, we all do, and we are learning every day.
Are we? Oh, yes. My goodness, yeah.
So we've talked about the Manual of Spiritual Warfare, and you mentioned that you have another book that you're hoping to come out. Is there any other projects you're working on that you'd like to share?
Well, I'll just say a little bit more about that one. It's we're calling it Saints Who Battle Satan. When I started doing this section for the Manual for Spiritual Warfare, there was so much from the saints that I finally just had to really, you know, just choose a few of the most important ones and put it in. But I thought, gosh, there's at least a whole book in this. And so it's a book where I'm starting with Eve and the fall, and then go to Our Lady and how she was the new Eve, and then look at a number of saints, starting with a couple of biblical saints, on down to modern times, who left behind a record of their battle with Satan, and not just the extraordinary phenomena, though you have plenty of that with the apparitions and that kind of thing, but also with the ordinary activity of the devil, which is temptation. And we've had such great, such a thorough record with so many saints of how they defeated the enemy. I thought, this is what we need. We need to talk to our older brothers and sisters in the Lord who are our comrades in the battle, who will help us now, but also who fought and won the battle. And so we can follow their model, their role model, and we can follow their advice.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to briefly touch upon, before we started recording, we talked about this, Tan Books, St. Benedict Press. Tan Books is a division of that. Your homeschooling initiative called Tan Homeschool.
Yes, we've got a lot going. I don't know how, I think you said you'd interview Brian. I don't want to steal his thunder or say too much because they've got some things that they're working on. But we are getting into it in a big way with a number of new products. I'm especially excited about the story of the Bible, which I had a little bit of involvement in doing that. We have a textbook for the story of the Bible, Old Testament, story of the Bible, New Testament. It'll have a teacher's guide for both, teacher's handbook. It'll have a test book for both. It'll have an activity book for both. It'll have an audio recording of each one. We've got DVD lecture series for kind of supplementary material for each one. That's just kind of our first big project. But there will be all kinds of other things. We've got a website now where we'll have homeschoolers blogging. I'm just really excited because we homeschooled our kids pretty much their whole educational lives. I was telling you earlier, we started back in, let's see, my daughter was born 82, she was 5, so 80, I guess it was 87 when we started. We didn't know anybody else who was doing it. Mm-hmm. We just knew in the situation we were in, the options were kind of limited. So we started, and we loved it so much we never looked back. And so I guess it was well over 20 years that we ended up homeschooling our kids, and now our grandkids are being homeschooled, and we're thrilled.
Great. So yeah, I've had an opportunity to look at some of the review copies of that stuff, and it's good stuff. I'm anxiously awaiting to see how it does for you guys, and I hope it does well, and looking forward to seeing what else is offered.
Oh, great! You can be sure that it's one of our important priorities, and as we go forward. So a number of folks homeschool there on the staff. We have a heart for homeschoolers. So, yeah, look for some more great stuff. It's coming.
Great. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining me today. Had a great time talking about your Year with Mary book, the Spiritual Manual for Spiritual Warfare book, two great books that if anybody is interested in purchasing, where can they go to find them?
Well, you can go to your local Catholic bookstore. You can go to Tan Books online. It's just tanbooks.com. Or you can go to Amazon.com.
Excellent. So again, thanks for joining me today, Paul. And hopefully we can talk again sometime about your future book that's coming out by the end of the year. And folks, until next time, open a book, keep reading, build your faith, and go evangelize. God bless.
Myself.